Willkommen zum E-Com Secrets Podcast. Hier erfährst du, wie du mit deinem Online-Shop endlich deine Umsatzziele erreichst, ohne dabei abhängig zu sein von Amazon oder Online-Marketing-Agenturen. Wir zeigen dir, wie du deinen aktuellen Status quo durchbrichst und dabei nicht nur nachhaltig, sondern auch direkt in die Skalierung kommst. Und hier ist dein Host, Daniel Bittmann.
Herzlich willkommen zu dieser neuen Podcast-Episode hier bei E-Com Secrets mit deinem Host Daniel Bittmann. Und auf diese Podcast-Episode habe ich mich besonders gefreut, denn heute haben wir wieder einen Gast, beziehungsweise wir haben heute meinen neuen Businesspartner mit am Start, den Emanuele. Und bevor wir gleich reinspringen, noch eine Sache vorweg. Wenn dir der Podcast gefällt, dann hinterlasse bitte eine Bewertung auf iTunes, auf Spotify, wo immer du diesen Podcast anhörst. Ich sehe immer fleißig, dass ihr bewertet. Und ich gucke mir jede Bewertung an. So, heute geht es um das Thema Black Friday, November. Vielleicht hast du auch schon die letzte Podcast-Episode angehört. Und wir erklären dir heute in dieser Podcast-Episode Schritt für Schritt, wie wir das Ganze umgesetzt haben. Und diese Podcast-Episode wird heute auf Englisch stattfinden. Denn der Emanuele kommt aus Italien. Wir werden gleich ganz viel Englisch sprechen. Und ich switche jetzt einfach mal auf Englisch. Emanuele, I'm so pumped that you are here in the podcast right now. How are you?
I am too. Thanks so much for the invitation. I think that when we saw the results from November and Black Friday, we were saying, okay, we really have to tell everyone how we're doing that. So thanks a lot for inviting me.
So thanks that you are here. For all of you who doesn't know, we actually started an agency beside the consulting business this year in July. And the funny thing is we don't even have a name for the agency yet because things are moving so quickly. We grow the team to 8 people already. We have big accounts, big clients. And today we are super happy to share some of our results from last November, last month. And let's start with Emanuele, let's start with your journey. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background, your hero's journey, and how we actually started this thing together.
Yeah, sure. So, well, my journey is a little bit funny because I started something completely different. And I found myself in the last 3 years managing over above 8 million euros in ad spend. So basically, a friend of mine, a restaurant asked me, hey, can you run some promotion with a flyer, you know, the paper flyer back then, 7 or 8 years ago. But I was not able to do that. And they asked me, okay, are there any other ways to do that? I said, yeah, I heard that Facebook, you can do something on Facebook. And he told me, yeah, but, you know, I'm a restaurant owner. I'm not able to do that. So that was the first time that I pushed, I don't know, 100 euros, something, not even knowing what I was doing inside the Facebook platform. And after 1 week, he said, oh, so many people in my little town in Italy saw that I'm running a promotion and they came here to eat at lunch. So what did you do? And I didn't know. And after that, you know, I realized that it was something big. So I would say the biggest jump in this space was when I moved to Australia. And there I was hired in an agency that it was mostly a SEO agency. And then I found myself managing 10K a day budget. And I was thinking, okay, so much money in this platform and so much people. And back then, I would say 4 years ago, it was still super easy to make people to convert. You were throwing away some promotion with, let's say, even a super simple website, not really well optimized, and people were buying. But let's go a little bit more deeper. In the last years, I would say more and more big corporations started approaching to me, even before we met me and you. And well, basically, mostly in the German market, I have a few startups scaling internationally, and they were the one that gave me the possibility to grow super fast in this world and like even to have these, let's say, consistent results with profitable scaling all over the world, mostly when DACH was not the only market. How did we meet? it was a funny story. Basically, I remember before COVID, I wanted to do a high-level mastermind. And that's where I was checking for Dipesh Mandalia, because in our market is one of the top ones, I would say. And well, I enrolled in this mastermind that it was allowed, I think, only to 20 people. At the beginning, it was supposed to be in Milan. Then for COVID, they moved to London. And then to London, they canceled at all. And then I think we just shared a message. Deepesh put all of us together in a group and we say, okay, there is someone else. And he was asking us to introduce each other. And I said, okay, there is someone from Germany, from Munich, and I'm living in Munich right now. So why not to catch up? And that's everything born, I would say.
Yeah, I remember we met. I think we went for some burgers to eat and get to know each other. And of course, we nerded a lot. We talked a lot about Facebook ads. We talked a lot about e-commerce. And this was actually the beginning of a great friendship and now even a business partnership. And I'm enjoying our journey already. And I'm looking forward for the next big year. So
yeah, something that for sure I was not expecting is like the speed of that. I would have never said that like in three months, something like that, 3-5 months, we would have grown so much with big ad accounts, with the team of people helping us, with the pipeline always full of prospects, and to say, hey, give us a little bit of time. We need to understand when we could work with you. So it was pretty much amazing so far. Yeah, and funny stuff, no name. So we have to work on that for January 2021. So it is in our priority list. But for now, we focus on delivering the best possible results to our clients and our partners, mostly in the last month. And it was pretty impressive, even for us, for ourselves. We are not expecting that.
Totally. And just to remember, last month, we generated over 4 million euros with a 4.5 return on ad spend, which for everyone who's running ads, this is an incredible result.
Among all the things, this worked more or less in many markets and for many products. So now we will go deeper and deeper about describing how we did that. But the astonishing factor was that, okay, it was not just two or three of them really crushing it, but I would say 95% of what we were pushing outside there was performing.
Okay, so now, Emanuele, I'm super pumped. Let's dig into everything. This episode is going to be deep and valuable. So grab your pen and paper and let's start. So first of all, what helped us a lot was the right offer at the right time. So maybe, Emanuele, we can talk a little bit about how to craft a good offer. Maybe we can even mention an example. And I think we even have a very great case studies, especially for the offer.
Yes. So I would say, and even before that, I would say planning. Planning was the key factor in our kind of success in this period, because we started, I would say, even 1 week before November, already thinking, okay, we know that the CPM, the cost of the advertising will increase a lot because it is one of the best moments to advertise. The people buying, the buying intent of the users in this moment in Q4 is super high. Obviously, everyone who has an online business or who sells something online wants to capitalize on that. So we started 1 week before November already thinking for each client what could be the right and the best offer possible. Based on that, even before talking about the offer, we were filling up the funnel and spending money, or better, investing money in bringing people inside the funnel to make them desire the product. And so we had, I would say, many clients where they were asking, hey, but the ROAS maybe is not really there. Are you sure, guys, what you are doing? And we say, absolutely, yes. You will see what will happen when we open the tabs in the peak when we will have the offer. Talking about the offer, I would say, we played quite strong with discounts because we have the control of all the business KPIs. Basically, for everyone, when we work with our clients, it's not that we just do Facebook advertising. We try to improve all the KPIs of the business. Mostly when we talk about average order value or lifetime value of a customer, we know exactly how much we can afford to bring a new customer into the business and how much in the next 12, 24 months, this customer will pay. So for some of them, some of the clients, we were thinking, how can we use the strongest leverage on discount to win the client and then making this client or this user buy more products straightforward? So I would say the best example that we have, we were working, and it was even like quite astonishing for us. We were working in this period with a company operating in the tourism industry, and we know that it was one of the worst thanks to COVID, unfortunately. And for them, we were tailoring a bundle offer. So we were saying, A, enter in the funnel, you will see the normal product with a little bit of discount, or if you want to really make the big deal, you will have five products with a price that it is almost the same of the main product. And all the people that were entering, they were already knowing the brand. So they were knowing the quality, what the brand was talking about, what were the values of the brand. So as soon as they saw this big offer, they converted. So it was such a massive push of sales. And if you remember, it was even so fulfilling mm-hmm. for us when the client after Black Friday told us, hey, we had our shipping center that is outside our business, and they called us, is everything was good because we had so many orders that we had to hire a new employee to help us fulfilling and shipping all these orders. And for us, even this was even more fulfilling, I would say, because somehow we had someone else without a job having a new job thanks for our passion and even our life, I would say.
Totally. And I'm totally with you. I mean, generating revenue is one thing, but changing really people's lives. And we have several clients where we actually achieve this. This is very, very fulfilling, especially in those times where many people are fortunate like us. They don't have a job or something. Maybe they lost their job because of COVID. And then you hear this stories from your clients. And those are the topics. I mean, I think we are very similar in this case, that this is like a really good thing to do.
There is no money paying for this.
Just exactly.
Happiness, just pure excellence.
Exactly.
The second topic that I think would be good to talk about is like the CPM. Everyone in this market was talking about CPM. Okay, yeah. CPM will go crazy. We will not sell. We spend so much. We need to use crazy strategies and so on. Yes, that's true. On the other side, how we are looking at the CPM in this period, still remember a conversation that we had. How can we beat the CPM, first of all? How we can forecast the trend of the CPM, because it is we can forecast it somehow. And how can we find a reason for that? Basically, we are thinking, okay, the CPM will increase. But on the other side, even the buying intent of the people in this period is increasing. So that's true that with the same money, with the same euro, we will reach less people. But if the people that we are reaching are converting more, well, we have to see even about at the positive side. And this was one factor that was not kind of scaring us. On the other side, having spent a good amount of money investing in fresh traffic to fill the funnel, we knew that we had a good amount of people already knowing the brand in the warm and hot holidays, that to reach that people during Black Friday and November, I would say in general, we would have spent less. So we were already thinking how to counteract on this. Last thing, and this was the mind-blowing stuff that we saw more and more, we were connecting all the other channel activities, for example, emails, Google Ads, Bing, or like any other of potential pull marketing activities. We are connecting those channels with Facebook. I would say that now I will get a little bit deeper on that, because this was mind-blowing for us, even though we knew how it was working, but this year we really had the numbers talking for us.
Yeah, totally. And the one case study you actually mentioned, there was a pretty good example of this, because we launched this offer even before the Black Friday period as a, I wouldn't say as a test, but it, in the end, it showed us the potential of our theory. And this is what we're going to talking about now.
Yeah. So basically, we saw this way. The Facebook platform works with signals in every funnel step. What do I mean with signals? When we push there a video or an image, there will be signals. For a video, will be how many people are going to click on this video. And from these people who clicked or are watching, how long do they see this video? If it is 3 seconds, is one signal. If it is 10 seconds, is a much more quality signal for Facebook. So obviously, we will win more auctions and the CPM will be a little bit lower. But let's move, talk about the correlation between traffic sources and emails and so on with CPM. Basically, in the last year, we were playing mostly, I would say, even before meeting you and getting starting working together, I was playing with big accounts and I was seeing this pattern. When I was launching, mostly in promotion time, a strong email broadcast campaign, I was seeing that the CPM of the entire ad account, mostly when I was spending 20, 25, 30,000 euros per day, it was collapsing, but really passing from maybe 8 to 5 or 8 to 4. And I was trying to think, okay, what is the reason for that? Day after day, I was realizing that when we launch a new email broadcast, maybe to 500,000 people, there will be a lot of signals to the algorithm, namely a lot of people entering into the funnel and triggering a lot of view content event, a lot of add to cart, a lot of purchases. For Facebook, that it has the pixel there and it has the pixel in almost all the website of smart people, let's say, it means that my website or the website that we are advertising is converting a lot. So Facebook will think, okay, if it is converting a lot, it means that people are finding really strong value in this website. So if you are, I have to prioritize in the auction someone, I will prioritize this website because I know that people are having a good experience. Facebook cares about user experience of people in the platform. That's its mantra. That's its core value. And then it cares about user experience of advertisers. Because if we think about that, without all the billions and billions of people in the platform, Facebook could not sell impression to the advertiser. So the priority will be always the people out there scrolling the newsfeed and then the advertiser. So, but going back to the topic, basically, I was seeing more and more times that when you sell a newsletter or a broadcast in a promotional time, the CPM of the ad account was collapsing. This year, I would say we brought it to the extreme because we were able to, with a sophisticated business intelligence, we were able to really see this drop in connection with the release of email campaigns. And when we saw the first time, the CPM of this big ad account that spent almost 500,000 in November passed from 7 or 8, that it is the average, to 5. This allowed us to, first of all, start scaling the warm audiences on Facebook. And as soon as the CPM collapsed, thanks to the email and the retargeting campaigns on Facebook, we were able to spend already 30,000 euros in pure acquisition, so top of the funnel traffic, with a low CPM. So basically, with the same money, we were reaching more people. And if I'm not wrong, just remember the dates as well. We were starting 3 days before Black Friday with this like big push on emails and retargeting audiences on Facebook. Then we know that the second day, the CPM will not have reached already the peak as it was before. And it was exactly the day before Black Friday. So in that day, I remember we pushed the biggest amount of people in acquisition, spending 65,000 euros in one day. with a cheaper CPM. So we were filling up the funnel, and then we started downscale in Black Friday, where the CPM was going crazy for everyone because everyone wanted to capitalize, but we had already did the big push. So this was somehow the mind blowing, as I call that, the mind blowing connection and correlation between signals and other traffic sources. I want to go a step deeper, mentioning how for all the our clients, we are improving that not only in Black Friday. Every time that we enter, we say, okay, you are pushing Facebook ads, but Facebook ads, that it is our kind of baby, we love it, you know, better than me, Daniel. Facebook ads is not the only traffic channel to acquire quality users. And when every time that we enter and we talk with a new prospect or client, we say, do you have potential on Google? Are you doing branded campaigns at least? Something like that. Because this could help a lot to give back signals to Facebook. And Facebook, obviously, would work better. So with the right combination of push marketing and pull marketing, this translates in a decrease in the CPM, mostly in this period. And this is how I would say we handle all of our clients, and we were able to deliver the strong performances.
Yeah, I would say this is like a very like holistic approach, seeing like customer acquisition, not only on Facebook, but like an overall picture about the whole business, email marketing, Google marketing, Facebook ads, everything, seeing as one big machine. And not even to mention, Emanuele, you spoke about like sending emails, how to decrease CPM. The other thing is, if you send out emails, you instantly earn money as well, yeah, with the highest return on invest, because you only have to pay your email provider and not no ad spend or nothing. So actually it's like a upward, like so many positive things if you understand everything is connected, and then you can take a business to the whole new level. And as Emanuele just said, for this case study, it was a brand in the luggage industry, and with COVID, nobody is like traveling right now. But I remember when we launched the offer, I think we did 50K in the first day.
Yes.
With a very high return on ad spend, actually. So 8x return on ad spend. So this is amazing.
Yeah. And I would say this was the main point about really seeing the value of an holistic approach, and even preparing that, because obviously you don't launch emails if you didn't prepare a funnel of emails before. That's why every time that we try to or consult or like have a new process, we try to say, hey, are you leveraging the power of the email marketing? Many people say, yeah, email marketing is almost dead. Email marketing, for I would say, on average, for all of our clients, are delivering between 25 to 30% of the revenue of the business. It is like the blood, and it doesn't have the cost and the I would say, the issues and the challenges of a paid source, because tomorrow Facebook could cost the double, and we don't know. Email marketing is, we consider it as an asset for the business that no one somehow will steal after it is built and it continues growing.
Yeah, that's one thing I actually don't understand, because for a lot of people, it doesn't seem to be a sexy channel, to be honest. Mm-hmm. For everyone, it's like, I want to know Facebook ads, I want to scale Facebook ads. But the thing is, you need everything in place to actually be able to successfully scale Facebook ads, and email marketing is one of the most important things to do this.
Yeah. I would go even the next level, talking about CPM, mostly discussing about our biggest client so far, mm-hmm. the one who spent, I think that I checked later with you, 462,000 euros in November, generating above 2 million. With them, to beat the CPM, we went a step further. We connected the Facebook algorithm with the power of business intelligence to understand specific in which hours the user was converting at the cheapest cost. So basically, we were thinking, okay, which hours of the day are the best to convert. And thinking of that, we got the first input of when we should launch the emails. You remember, everything started this way. So we realized that around 12, it was the first really peak hour of buying intent for this specific product. So we planned the first email campaign to be really, it was already there and planned, but like we released it at midday. And we saw the immediate correlation with Facebook. Facebook jumped and the number of new customers was exploding. So the day after, we replicated that and we went into the business intelligence saying, okay, let's see. We are paying for a customer 23 euros, for example, I put in there the numbers, at midday, but 33 at 8 p.m. So we should optimize the budget to spend as much as possible in the peak moment. And that's why that's where we started having really fun, I would say. It was mind-blowing. We were like two babies discovering the warm water, how they say, the hot water.
Yeah, that was a super crazy ride. And I remember like you were adjusting budgets really on an hourly basis, like for every hour, like reallocating the budget to get the most out of your ad spend. And I don't think that a lot of people are doing that actually.
Yeah, I would say that even because even for ourselves, you know, it was not super easy and we had to use quite a good amount of advanced strategies that now we start talking about. So, but what is the, if, before entering on that, what is the thinking behind that? It is the value of one impression. So it was mind-blowing for us, and now it is even good if we try to push out this message, because from my side, I never heard that. What is the value of one impression? So on Facebook, we are buying impression. An impression is when someone sees one ad from us. So what is the difference if you, Daniel, you see my ad in at 7:30 a.m. when you woke up and as many people just pick up your phone and you check the news feed and you are still a little bit sleepy? Or if you see the same impression at midday where you are having lunch and you have your time and you want to, how do you say, relax a little bit because we are on Facebook, or to win, to don't get bored, mm-hmm. or to relax a little bit from heavy stuff. What is the value of this impression? From my side is, in the morning, you are kind of sleepy. So yeah, you will see something, but you don't even realize what you are seeing. At midday or at 4 a.m. when you are doing your coffee break, if you do that, you have more attention. So that attention converts in a higher recall for the product or the offer or the brand. This means that if then in the next days or in the next hours, I hit you with another retargeting ad, the compound effect will be much higher. And that's what we saw in this big client where we were noticing this behavior, this trend. We were pushing already in the morning 4,000 euros, 5,000 euros per hour. But somehow the cost per acquisition that we were noticing, not in Facebook because we have late attribution, the cost per acquisition that we were noticing in the business intelligence was quite high, higher than the target CPA that we had. On the other side, we are seeing that along the day from 8 in the morning to 6 p.m. in the afternoon, the cost per acquisition was much lower. But we were keeping the same budget. So how can we optimize that? We're thinking, okay, the second day we started decreasing the budget in the hours where it was not really performing so strong. But then we had the other challenge that it was, how can I spend more in those specific hours with more control? Because everyone who does Facebook advertising know that it's not so easy to launch our campaigns and to reach the full amount of hours spent as we would like to do, mostly in those days where the CPM was quite high, everyone wanted to be on the platform and win the first impression in the newsfeed. So we did that using bidding strategies. Most of them were acceleration and cost cap. Just in a nutshell, what is acceleration? Is like considering Facebook as a Lamborghini or a Ferrari and pushing the speed to the top, to the maximum, and pulling the handbrake. What happened? The Ferrari will be there, stopped, ready to do the first meter, like ready to crash it, but it doesn't move. Okay. As soon as you start leaving a little bit of space to the handbrake, it will start moving. If you leave it too much, it will crash because you lose the control. Basically, acceleration of Facebook is the same behavior. So we were with all the risk, we were doing that with campaigns with a 20,000 a day budget to spend that budget as soon as possible in those hours. We were using automation and automated rules saying, A, you should spend and increase the, because it is another strategy with manual bidding, you should increase the manual bidding just to the right amount to reach the best audiences and to spend as much as possible until it is profitable. So by word is not super easy to describe, I would say. I think maybe in the future we will do something more concrete and like that people can see and follow with slides. But in a nutshell, was entering into the Facebook algorithm and saying, Facebook, please spend as much as possible my money in those specific hours if the cost per acquisition that I have is within my target. This was one strategy, and it worked quite well, I would say, and with control. The other strategy was outbidding the competition. Basically, at the end of the day, we know that on Facebook, you know, you need to have money to advertise. And the more you have, the better you can win the competition. We were bidding against the competition, giving Facebook an input. Facebook, you can spend to acquire a new customer a lot of money. And this doesn't mean that Facebook will spend those money. But Facebook will just think, okay, these guys are willing to spend and to give me more money than some other guys, some other advertisers. This meant to be in the first position in the newsfeed for each person we were advertising. And the consequence of that is like in 6 days that we ran this campaign, first day we had a good cost per acquisition of new customer because we were hitting mostly the targeting audiences. But then, sorry, Daniel.
We're good.
The second day was already high. It was around 30. With all this optimization, we are spending the same amount of money, but we saw the cost per acquisition going from 30 to 25 just in 6 days on scale. And we were advertising this client worldwide. So we went to the next level and we were saying, if, for example, in Germany, we are having these performances in specific hours, in the US, where there will be another time zone, this will not work. So we have to study the behavior of US. So we are entering into the business intelligence, understanding which hours were the most profitable, and we were building specific campaigns in the US to crush and to deliver as much budget as possible in the winning hours. And we did that, I would say, with the five bigger markets, correct? Yeah, I think so. Five or six.
I think so, yeah.
Nice. So this, I would say, on overall, was the most advanced scaling that we did together, that I did. Even like, I never did such things when I was alone. And this impacted a lot and allows us to really keep a stable spending no matter the CPM and no matter the competition, because we were outbeating the competition. So our money was spent and invested to acquire the best traffic ever. I don't want to say the best traffic ever, but a good amount of a good quality traffic that was converting and was filling the Facebook pixel with a lot of quality signals. So all the ecosystem was working somehow.
Totally. I remember when I saw the bid cap around 4,000 euros or something. We were really dominating like the auction. I think what you explained, everything comes down to really understand your data. I think most of the, I wouldn't say most, but many of the advertisers don't go really deep into the data and understand every detail. But the thing is, the better you know your data, the more powerful you can make decisions, the better decisions you're going to make, the more you get out of your ad spend. And this is what was happening here. One more thing I actually want to talk about is the creative side, like about the psychology, about the creatives, about the offers. I think we both saw that simplicity, clarity was winning. So the easier the offer was, the easier the communication was, the better it worked at all. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about one of the best ads. I mean, everyone who knows me, I have a design background. For me, it was like cancer in my eye. It was like, oh my gosh, how does it look like? But at the end, this was one of the winning, best winning ads. So maybe you can talk about what ad, how does it look like?
Yes, absolutely. So, well, good that you mentioned that, because I don't have a design background. On the other side, I was not satisfied when I was seeing the design that this client of ours was making. It could have worked. It had potential, but from my side, it was not super clear. And if we consider the buying intent and the, how to say, the user mindset in those days, they just want to understand immediately what you are talking about, how much they are going to save, and why they should buy. These three things. They don't have, people during Black Friday are so bombarded with ads and emails and like advertisement when they go to the metro, not now, but, or when they walk. So the attention span is super low. So you need to win and win in the first. If in the past was 3 seconds, I would say 1-2 seconds. Then you lose the attention. Basically, it was funny. The creative that crushed it, where we spent, I would say, more than 1,000 euros in 2 days, 3 days, even in prospecting, was a super simple image with a white background saying, showing the product, that it was nice, obviously, putting a border, a red, strong red frame saying Black Friday, save, I don't know how much, save 30%, something like that. And this was crushing. And we saw that in the first test, the day in day one, if you remember. Then we wanted to iterate on that. So we were creating animations just with the border, the frame flashing with different colors to stop the attention. Or in the last 2 days, we were even putting a small banner saying expiring soon, meaning people, today or you lose it. Something that I want to mention, and maybe this is important for everyone doing Facebook ads, another factor that allows us winning the competition, I would say, and to win more auctions was we customized, as everyone should do, but many advertising where we consult still are not doing, we customized every specific placement. What does it mean? We create the right size with the right message for the newsfeed. Then we create another, the same image, the same creatives, but customized for stories, where there you don't have the copy coming, so you have to communicate the description and the call to action in the image. And the next level is like we customized all the other little placements that needs another size that are going to reach the audience network and all the other inventory of Facebook. This, why we did that? Not because a lot of people are converting those placements, but it is just a war of signals. And if for Facebook we are telling, hey, Facebook, the user will have the best experience ever, if you show our ad with the right size, we win more auctions. So we will pay less for the CPM and we will reach more people and we outbeat the competition. It's always a war of signals. Going back to creatives, Yes, it was super simple, product focus, black, white background, because we were testing with the black, but it was not performing as the white. Red, really eye-catching frame. And then we realized how we were building the copy, even in a design manner. Basically, if we talk about the copy, we were saying the first, second, the first three words, the power words, as they say, was like, hey, don't miss out. So we were saying, okay, what am I missing out? The fear of missing out is one of the strongest psychological trigger out there. Then there was a funny emoji with a scary face. And the next sentence was, we celebrate Black Friday, but people was not reading that. Moving below the face where we are pushing ends today. So basically, the user journey in the copy was, hey, don't miss out. So what am I missing? Then the scary face, and again, after, below the scary face in mobile, firstly, mostly it was ends today. I want to know. I want to click. Then below this sentence, and it was still, you could see still see it without clicking, see more. You could see save 30%. So we were using all the psychological triggers to guide the user to click see more. And in the see more, obviously, when they were clicking, there was the link to the website. So that's, I think, where the combo that we realized even after, not while we were doing that, that were allowing us to have a really high relevance score for Facebook to win a lot of auctions and to convert a lot of users. And obviously, I go a step further. Then we will quickly talk about the role of advertisers in the next years to come and even today. We were aligning all the funnel with this click, because at the end, the role of Facebook is just to win the click. It will not convert alone the user. So when someone was clicking, he was landing on a specific page where we were saying, as today, the same messaging, the clarity about the product and why they should buy immediately. So we were aligning the click on Facebook, the messaging on Facebook with the click, with the first experience when they were landing on the page, and all the rest was coming after.
Yes, one more thing actually mentioned to the creative part, because we did this also in some accounts, another type of creative. We actually used the winning creatives from the year and just like pimped it, improved it with the offer, and it worked like quite well. So this is another thing you could just apply into your promotion campaigns using your winning audiences and put the offer on it, actually. Yeah, amazing.
We had more or less four winning videos, and we were just putting the first 2 seconds a banner, Black Friday, 30% off, ends today. So super quick and super effective as well.
So you were just mentioning the future about advertisers and digital advertising at all. So maybe you can share your thoughts about this topic with the listeners.
Absolutely. So I started already seeing these challenges and like this view 1.5 years ago, working alone with clients. And now working together with you, I see even the upside potential on that. Basically, Facebook doesn't work anymore alone. Facebook doesn't work if you don't have a winning product or a product that can be sold to the right audience. Facebook doesn't work if you don't have the right offer. Facebook doesn't work if you don't have the right messaging. Facebook doesn't work if your website loads in 20 seconds. So what I'm seeing is that till 1 year, I would say even 2 years ago, it was kind of easy to push an offer and to make people convert no matter what was happening. Now, more and more, the experience of the users in the several Amazon, Zalando, Apple, Booking is improving. So they are expecting the same in all the other shops. So the user behavior are changed, first of all. And winning the click is not enough anymore. Second thing, people buy what they think is good for them, but an ad alone is not selling that. So what is the meaning about winning the click with a good messaging and a good creatives, and then not having the right way to convince people that the product that you are selling is the right one for them? Is the best. It must be the right one for what they are looking for. And on Facebook, we know we are bringing people that in most cases are unaware of what they want. So we have to guide them in fulfilling their emotions, their needs, and their willingness, or their problems, if we are able to capture that. I see the role of the advertiser more and more becoming connected with, a business advisor, where you have to guide the client, say, hey, this offer is not really converting the traffic or the user that I'm reaching. The user can be the right one, but like the offer is not somehow influencing the purchase or completing the purchase. Other thing, average order value and lifetime value. The Facebook platform, we know and we see year by year, it is becoming more and more expensive, and we cannot do anything about it. Yes, we can play with the CPM, we can use strategies, we can create better creatives, we can find better audiences, better angles. On the other side, if tomorrow Coca-Cola will come on the, let's say, Germany, and will push 50 million euros in advertising that they can do easily, it will not be a surprise, the CPM will go up of 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many euros. So meaning that with the same euros, you will reach less and less people. If the business doesn't have strong KPIs, and with strong KPIs, I mean returning customers, a good amount of a good value of average order value, like the amount of money people usually buy in the first transaction, or we don't maximize the other traffic sources, Facebook for many will become, and it has already become this month, too expensive. So they will be out of the platform because you cannot afford to pay the same amount of money to acquire a new customer. So I see this, and our clients are confirming that to us when we consult them, that the role of the advertiser, or the, like even the role of, I would say, everyone working in paid channels is to develop the T-shape skills, where with the vertical, I mean, you must be vertical in the channel. Like for me, it's mostly Facebook, but you need to have horizontal skills about business. How can I help my client developing a better offer that will increase the average order value? How can I make sure that I consult my client having a better email funnel that will convert 2 or 3 times the same user that they brought through Facebook ads? Because at the end, if we think Facebook ads is super strong to acquire new customer, but we need to sell more times to this customer and potentially more at the first transaction. So we are sure that the CPM will increase, but like even the value of our paying customer will increase, and we can afford to stay on the platform and to continue growing and scaling the business.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And I think this is like one of the biggest thing which differentiates us. Like, I wouldn't say that we are an agency. I would more say that we are like, we partner up with e-com brands because yes, we go really deep into their business. And I think this is a very big thing, which is different to, I would say, quote unquote, normal Facebook agencies.
Yes,
that we are not purely focusing on Facebook because we understand the whole ecosystem about scaling an e-commerce brand to 7 figures, to 8 figures, and get this client to the next level. And that's why we grow so fast, actually. So, and I mean, I don't know if you mentioned,
I would add just one thing with net margin.
Yes.
is profitability, because at the end of the day, we have fun when our clients are happy, and our clients are happy, not when they grow and they find nothing in the pocket, but when they grow with good revenue numbers, but they grow with net money in the pocket, because that's the aim of business. Sorry if I interrupt you. All good.
You're absolutely right. I mean, revenue is one thing, and it's not hard to generate 1 million in revenue. You could spend 2 million in ad spend, for example. But the challenge is, and this is the goal of us, like making more profit at the end, and then, of course, scale the brand to the next highs. So actually, that brings me already to, like, what is our vision about next year? What is our current situation? As Emanuele said in the beginning, we don't even have a name yet for our project together, which will be officially launched in January, I think. We will work on this tomorrow. So if you are like listening now, and if you say, hey, I have a brand, and maybe you're doing around 50 to 100K per month in revenue already, and you say, hey, I'm acquiring customers already on Facebook, but maybe I'm not able to do this more profitably, or like every time I spend more on Facebook, it's getting expensive, but you actually want to scale to 7 or even 8 figures. I think our biggest client is doing how many millions? Eight figures, I think.
25, 30 per year now.
Something like this. Yeah. So
No, 25.
Yeah, 25 million.
I remember when I was checking. This year, so 25, it will reach 30 potentially, but like 25 to date in the year.
Exactly, and if you say, "Hey, I wanna also reach those levels." Currently, we are already full for this year. We are not able to take any more clients. But what we are doing right now is, we are talking with brands, we are looking into their businesses and evaluate, okay, who has a lot of potential for next year to scale to those levels, and actually also with whom we want to work with, because at the end, it's like a relationship, right? We're going very deep into the business, and there's also this personal aspect. We only work with people who have the right mindset, that this share the same vision, and are also fun to work with, of course. So
Because at the end, for us is a game. Yeah, fortunately, it is even giving us something to live with, but it is a game. And when we see the numbers like last month, we are really happy. We are really happy because we say, okay, we are doing something good in this world, and the clients are happy as well, because they are impacting with their products the world. So then it's like, what is the impact on this world? Yes, money is one factor that we all love or like. It's not the only one. It's not the only one. So totally. Yeah, I would say that in this moment, we are screening up the ones who could have the scaling potential and the scaling that we can deliver the most value to them. So good to mention.
Exactly. And at the moment of this recording, we don't have a website yet. So it's actually a pity, but we were growing so quickly. And if you are listening and say, hey, I want to work with you, currently, as Emanuele said, we are screening. You have two ways to contact us. Either you go to the ecomsecrets.de website and fill out the form there to apply for a free consulting session, or you write us on LinkedIn or on Instagram. I think I will post even the links into the description from us. So you can contact us directly, and we see if we are a good fit. And we are super pumped for next year, because actually right now, if you understand data, if you understand Facebook, if you understand business, actually right now is a pretty amazing time. And also next year, growing direct-to-consumer brands to the next highs. And Emanuele, from your side, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to say that it seems, I don't know if COVID helped somehow this transition into the minds of people in online buying and online shopping, but we saw such a strong jump, not only in the obviously industries where it was normal, obvious. For example, they close the gyms, people will buy more for the fitness. But even in many others. So I think there was really a shift in the mind of people. And next year, they will become more and more competitive. So I would say there will be a really strong year 2021. I don't want to forecast something that I don't have the control, but next year will be really strong. Then the competition will start really attacking this field of digital. So the sooner people will start pushing correctly with the right numbers from the business side into acquisition in these paid channels, the sooner they will be the foundation of the business, the blood of the returning customers that will stay there no matter what you do on the paid channels. So that's my suggestion for everyone. If you have the chance next year, try to push hard in acquisition, because we don't know in 2-3 years, obviously, what will happen in the platform, if we consider just Facebook, but even how expensive it will become. It could be something hard to manage. And the last thing that I just wanted to mention, maybe we will go deeper, it is about the automation that we didn't touch base a lot, but like we were able to deliver all these results with a lot of automation that were allowing us to save money in the ads and to align all the KPIs. This is the next level where I think we should really deliver 30 minutes or 1 hour talk in the future to say how they work, why they are so useful, why they help us, and why maybe 1,000 euros a month in or two into an automation software is totally worth most in this period where you spend 60,000-70,000 euros per day.
Absolutely.
From my side, Daniel.
Absolutely. So also thanks, Emanuele, to having you on the podcast. You are one of the most experienced Facebook marketers I know. And I'm very honored and pleased to be able to work with you. I think both of us connected. It's like dynamite, and we saw it in the last couple of months. And I'm super happy having you on board for the next year in this journey. And I'm also, as you just mentioned, that was one of many episodes, I assume. It was a lot of fun. It was the first episode in English, actually. So I'm really interested how the listeners will like it. So if you were listening now, please write me on Instagram and give me your feedback to see if this is amazing. And
the beauty of this, I would say, Daniel, for us, that we are having traction in other markets. Like just to mention to the audience, next week we will have an interview in United Kingdom, in England. Always the next week we will be interviewed by Sugatan, another agency that wants to know how we did that. So I would say that satisfaction even from the other markets is coming. So thanks so much for the invitation, and well, to start this project together, that it was quite fast and like a forecast, but why don't we do that? And this is the consequence of gut feelings aligning together and taking the bold decisions sometimes.
Nice words for the end. Amazing. Emanuele, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for the invitation. Really. Looking forward to meet you tomorrow.
Amazing. All the best. Ciao.
Ciao.
Wir hoffen, dass dir diese Folge wieder gefallen hat. Wenn du auch endlich konstant und profitabel 6- bis 7-stellige Umsätze mit deinem Onlineshop erreichen möchtest, dann gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und buche eine kostenlose Strategiesession. In diesem 45-minütigen Gespräch zeigen wir dir ganz genau, welche Schritte du umsetzen musst, um profitabel skalieren zu können. Es sind immer die gleichen 5 Elemente, die du meistern musst, um deinen Onlineshop erfolgreich zu machen. Du willst wissen, welche das sind? Gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und finde es heraus.